Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many urban areas of our nation have lots of empty houses, abandoned perhaps because of the loss of jobs or because they have become unlivable. They bring squatters, drug dealers, and breed crime. We want families in these houses, people who will take care of them and make our communities safe and stable. It's a problem. Jesus used the analogy of an empty house when he cast out a demon which had made a man mute. But some accused him of being in league with Satan or Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Beelzebul literally means the lord of the flies, decay, rot, destruction. Stupidly, they said that Jesus was allied with Satan in casting out Satan and his cohorts. But Jesus makes it clear that this was absurd. Why would Satan fight with himself? Jesus is the strong man who overcomes Satan and his legions. He said, But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus referred to the miraculous works which Moses did before Pharaoh when Pharaoh's magicians could not copy the miracle. And they were compelled to admit that it was God himself who was doing these things just by using his finger. And so too here is not any ordinary man who cast out demons, certainly not Satan fighting against himself, but God himself who stood before them. Here was plain evidence that the kingdom of God had come upon them and that Jesus had come to overcome the evil one and take his spoil, that is, the people who had been owned by the evil one. Spiritually speaking, there are no empty houses. When you were born, the house of your soul was already occupied. In Luther's reform of the baptismal liturgy, he kept the exorcism, which is the very first thing that the pastor speaks. Depart, O unclean spirit, and make way for the Holy Spirit. Christ is speaking through the pastor, casting out the demons. He is cleaning house. When you were baptized, God the Holy Spirit cleaned your spiritual house of the demons, that is, he applied Christ's death and resurrection to you, and you were liberated from the oppression of sin, death, and hell. The Holy Trinity took up residence in you. You are under new ownership, so to speak. And those who confess a decision theology, that is, inviting Jesus into one's life, simply do not understand the doctrine of original sin, nor the work of Satan. They mistakenly believe that one's spiritual house is vacant at birth, and one can choose whom he wants to live with him. They do not understand that Satan and his horde are already living there. You are not a spiritual free agent who has the option to sign with his preferred team. Every human being except Jesus Christ our Lord was born into the slavery of sin. We do not free ourselves by deciding to pick a new master. We must realize, however, that we will always be under attack by Satan, who seeks to move back into our spiritual house. evil spirits do not go away willingly. Jesus says they are always looking for a new home, or in this case, to come back to the old one. Satan never gives up his desire to live in you. Some of you may remember the song by Brooke Benton in 1961 about the boll weevil insect, an insect that could wipe out a cotton crop in no time at all. The boll weevil spots a cotton field and he decides to move in, deceiving the farmer that he is harmless. Gotta have a home, gotta have a home, is the refrain. And soon the boll weevil brought all of his family and friends along, and the farmer is ruined. And at the end, the farmer who let him in has lost everything because he did not see the danger of letting him in. And Jesus concludes, "Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first." Listen to the warnings that the Apostle Paul gives us in today's epistle reading. He warns us not to compromise with evil because doing so endangers your spiritual house. Jesus warns that the evil spirits would love to come back into your clean swept house and begin redecorating. It becomes repossessed by the evil one. Today is Oculi Sunday, Latin for my eyes. We pray that our old enemy will not gain mastery over us. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. O my God, in you I trust, let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Paul invokes your calling as a child of light. In your light do we see light, says the psalmist. It is for that reason that after one has been baptized, a candle is presented to the newly baptized with these words: "Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end." So Paul warns us not to invite redecorators into our clean swept house. Sexual immorality is the target of his words. Christians of his day lived in a very sexually immoral world. So do we. Times do not change. And our society has become increasingly hostile to those who want to live a sexually pure and decent life. We are not only bombarded by sexually explicit ads and images, but we are also bombarded by those who accuse Christians of promoting hate speech and actions against those who indulge in these sins. Christians are urged to redecorate their souls with affirmations of that which God has clearly condemned in his word. A confessional Lutheran female physician in Finland, which was once a nominally Lutheran nation, has been put on trial 3 times for merely stating what the Bible says about homosexuality. Despite being exonerated each time, the authorities continue to put her in jail for speaking the truth. This is truly demonic. In England, such hate speech crimes are regularly filed. It is happening in our neighbor to the north, Canada. It may happen or is happening already here. So Paul warns us strongly, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Empty words are the words that Satan uses. But God will indeed judge those who promote and do these things. God will brush them all aside with his finger. It also reminds us that sometimes God goes further and uses his holy arm to dismiss his enemies. But here is the finger, the same finger that Moses used in performing the destructive miracles of judgment on Egypt. There will be consequences for the sons of disobedience, but you are not numbered among them. You are a child of light. You belong to Christ. Writing to Timothy, Paul said, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith." Paul knew firsthand about shipwrecks, the devastation that accompanies them, because he was involved in three of them in his life. Train and plane wrecks come to mind as contemporary parallels. The devastation that people experience for a life of immorality quite often results in total destruction. We are to live as children of light. Paul also wrote in this context, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." There is no confusion here. He is pointing us to Christ, who forgave his enemies out of love. We are to live in love and forgiveness, but we are not to approve what God has condemned. That is not love for the sinner, because it does not warn him of his sin and the wrath of God. Our society may not listen to Christians, but we should not be reluctant to speak the truth for the sake of the neighbor. We are to walk as the children of light, which we are by the grace of God. There are those who will continue to live in the darkness, but you live in the light, because you are a child of the light. For the Christian, this life is a constant battle with the forces of darkness, which seek to take up residence in our spiritual homes again. Yet be confident, because Christ lives in you, especially in his true body and blood. After receiving the Blessed Sacrament, it is good to pray with Paul, "I live, and yet not I, but Christ lives in me." He lives in my spiritual house. He lives in me, body and soul. He is the strong one who has bound your enemy. He has already won the victory through his life, death, and resurrection. He lives in you, and he will guard and protect you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Please stand as we confess the creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made.